This episode is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, a service that delivers gently cooked, freshly made pet food straight to your door. Each balanced recipe is developed by board-certified nutritionists and clinically proven to support healthy aging. The Farmer's Dog, guided by science, driven by love. New customer? Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/Spotify. Plus, you get free shipping.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
3, 2, 1.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And here goes Bijan Robinson! Are you serious?
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Intercepted! Xavier Watts has got another one!
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, actor and comedian Kumail Nanjiani. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Rod Woodson, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Who better to talk about Ravens Steelers than this guy? Won one with the Ravens, went to another one with the Steelers. He's the one, I believe, in that Super Bowl, last Super Bowl win for the Dallas Cowboys. He picked off Aikman and pointed to his knee. Remember that?
I think it was he broke up. I want to say
he broke
play
up
on the sideline. He broke it up and kind of like,
right, because he came back from a knee injury.
I think that's how it played.
But he could not come back from Neil O'Donnell, I don't think.
Wow. Yeah.
Who could, really?
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. And it's a perfect that Rod Woodson's about to join this program because in the early years of NFL Network, when NFL Total Access existed, I did more 1 hour long NFL Total Accesses with Rod Woodson than any other player analyst that we had. And he told so many great stories. And one story that he told is one that I repeat all the time using the phrase that I heard from this story. He said, and I'll have him repeat it shortly, that Chuck Knoll would always tell the team prior to games that the refs at some point are going to blow a call. I mean, that it's in very, so everyone thinking their officiating is as bad now.
It's always been bad.
It's always been a question mark in a world of coaches who are control freaks. That is at the top of the list of uncontrollables. I mean, in terms of uncontrollable, there's injuries and then there is officiating.
It's inevitable.
Pretty much. And he said, Rod, that Chuck Knoll would say the way to control that uncontrollable the most is with your play. Win football games by being in front of your opponent so far enough that when the invariably bad call hits, it doesn't affect whether you win or lose. It doesn't happen in the throes of a game that's on the line, and it doesn't matter if it happens in the throes of a game when you're already up by 2 scores or you haven't fallen down by 21 points, like, say, the Rams did last night in Atlanta and furiously come back only to fall down by 3 points and have a dot thrown by Matthew Stafford down the field with less than 15 seconds to go to Tutu Atwell being clearly interfered with. And that call costs you. And that's when I sit there and think to myself about this story where Rod Woodson says Chuck Knoll would always tell the team, play better than the ref's ref. And the Rams did not last night. And I saw it, and so did Joe Buck. And with all due respect to Russell Yerk, the rules analyst of ESPN, I think out of all the rules analysts, he agrees with the calls from his officiating, I guess, colleagues more than anybody else. And Even he said that was a blown call. That might be an unfair thing for me to say about one of our Disney friends, but he was readily saying that that's a blown call. And it was. And it cost the Rams because they could have clearly set up their place kicker for a bunny to send the game into overtime. Now, also, again, play better than the ref's ref. Stafford had a wide open receiver to start that drive that would have set up their kicker in field goal range, not for a bunny.
That might have been a touchdown.
Missed it. And the refs did make a brilliant snap call on the Puka Nacua grab that I thought was going to go up there in terms of, you know, grabs involving the Falcons, would have been way up there with Julio Jones in the Super Bowl, which was an unbelievable grab that we don't talk about.
Forgotten great play.
Correct.
Yeah. And yet we always talk about Odell catching that ball.
But AJ, if you look at that play again, that one involved Puka's catch, mm-hmm. non-catch last night, that they ruled no catch and then rightfully reviewed to upheld, to uphold the snap judgment. AJ Terrell grabbed at Puka's arm, the arm that had the ball in it.
Dislodged for a quick second.
That's all it took. That's all it took.
Otherwise, he caught it one-handed.
Unbelievable.
Unreal.
And got both feet down.
I kept watching his feet to make sure and was like, yeah.
Puka's in the realm of receivers.
Puka's good, man.
That the goat of this, of anybody who's active, I guess, which is goes against saying of all time, but one of the greatest of all time at this, and I've told them to his face, DeAndre Hopkins, I tell him, whenever there's ever a question whether you got your feet down, I never question it. You always get your feet down. He is, Texans fans will tell you, you know, Cardinals fans will tell you, Ravens fans will tell you, even the Titan fans for his cup of coffee there will tell you. If there's ever any question, him, Davante Adams is another one.
Yeah.
I never question whether his feet are in. And same thing with Puka. It's just like, did you have possession? Now, that's just a question. But
survived the ground.
I knew on that replay, Puka's feet would be down. Yeah. It just would be the question, was the ball corralled in time? Yeah. And it was until Terrell ripped at it. Then the ball popped free.
Separated.
For a quick hot second.
A split second.
But his feet had already been up in the air by that point, and he was out of bounds. And that was the right call. So, you know, I'm giving the officials their props there. But again, it's tough for me to swallow, and I'm sure fans feel the same way, is the inconsistency. Mm. It's just the inconsistency of making calls with the game on the line or not. Now, the official in question went missing this defensive pass interference may not have been in position. I mean, 2-2 out rolls pretty damn fast. And that may be the reason why it wasn't called. I mean, the official in position was definitely in position in Baltimore a couple of Sunday nights ago when Keyshawn Booty was tackled before the play. And there was no defensive pass interference. And Mike Vrabel said after the game, the reason he was given, when he said, why was there no penalty? He goes, there was no completed catch. He didn't survive the ground. I'm like, well, the reason why he didn't survive the ground is because he was tackled before the ball got there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, let's go first things first. Was there interference before we talk about whether there was a possession on a catch yet? Now, that's not what I mean by the inconsistency. I'm sitting in a booth calling Chargers and Texans, and I'll be very honest with everybody calling a game. I don't do it enough. I'm not fortunate enough to do it enough. I'd love to do it more, or at least I used to feel that way. But it is an exciting thing to do in the moment, calling football games. It's so great. Again, just to share with you, I always talk about things in advance or after the fact on this program. That's all I've done for a living. Calling games, you know, it's my job to deliver the action in real time. It's an exhilarating thing. It's totally different from this endeavor here on this program, absolutely, where dead air is a disaster, but dead air calling football games, it's frequently the right thing to do. The reason why I'm bringing all this up is I really wanted to call a game where Justin Herbert got one more shot at trying to win it. I always want the game to come down to the last second. Every announcer, if any announcer's out there telling you he or she does not care about calling a blowout or wanting to be there and having a last second thing, I don't care which teams are involved. I just want it to come down to the last play. I just really do. Yeah. I want this thing to be a highest rating. I want it to be exciting for you at the fans at home. And so when I saw a sack of C.J. Stroud going to bring Justin Herbert out on the field one last shot, I'm thinking, all right, here we go. I wasn't rooting for C.J. Stroud to get sacked. I don't root in the moment. It's just I would love for a game to come down to the last second. And there's a penalty, and it's an illegal contact penalty on Tarheeb Still, on Christian Kirk, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't have to be called. Like, if it's not called, this is one of those moments where you're not looking at the play saying, that's a clear and obvious illegal contact. You could be calling illegal contact on every play in the National Football League. In this case, they went ahead and called it, and it cost the Chargers a moment. Now, again, bringing it all back full circle, the Chargers made so many damn mistakes.
Yeah.
They allowed a call like that to crop up at the worst possible time for them. And the Texans played well enough to accept that break that they got. Now, defensively, they probably would have put Justin Herbert on his tail because that's what they're doing to everybody right now. Mm-hmm. But that's the inconsistency I'm talking about. Okay, so it doesn't matter where it is in the game. Doesn't matter that it's going to give a fresh set of downs to another team. That I saw ref throwing a flag. The ref saw it. They called it. End of story. What about last night? What about last night? Is that one of those moments where it's late in the game. Anything's got to go. You even thought
that's
off 10 air
seconds. It's essentially a Hail Mary.
But it's still not. You know, it is a go route that had Tutu Atwell had both of his hands at his disposal, and he caught it. I don't think they would have been able to get another playoff to even spike it. They might have run their special teams crew out there. I just don't know. They would have been able to sprint out with time running down to get the field goal or just get the ball even spotted. It would have been that difficult. But it's the inconsistency where one Los Angeles team doesn't get the shot, the other Los Angeles team doesn't get the shot, and one of them is because a call was made that I thought was pedestrian, and then another call doesn't get made, and it's blatant. But I'll tell you this, just to bring it all full circle, two things. One, I know the conspiracy theorists go crazy about this sort of thing, and the inconsistencies only give them more fuel. And I think that's wrong. And then number two, as well, on this whole thing, replay ain't the answer. Just isn't. I just don't think it is. That everything that it gets challenged, it's all of these are judgment calls. Everything needs to be clear and obvious. And I just, even though that was clear and obvious on the pass interference that wasn't called, I just saw what the replay system looked like the year after the NFC Championship game was marred by such a blown non-call.
And the Rams benefited from that one.
Correct. That it was such a disaster the next year with replay, it showed it wasn't the answer.
But that was a challenge situation, right? I mean, Sky Judge is already chiming in, replay assist. Like, why can't...
They will never have replay assist put a flag on.
But what is the reason?
Because they don't want people in New York City being the overlords. They want the people to be at the game in charge of whether there's a flag on the field. They want the human at the game to be the ones to place the flag on the field. They do not want any entity that looks down Big Brother from New York saying that's a penalty, you should put it on the field, with the exception of something that's so obvious, there's a 12th man on the field or something like that. They just don't want to do it. They'll never do it.
That was what we loved about baseball, right? Human element of the umpires. And now that's being taken away as well. Like, why can't the NFL just adapt?
But they're still going to have the umpires out there. It's not like they're removing them completely. You know what I mean? They will just never. That's one thing that I'm sure of. I know one of our favorite drops is never say never, but never.
Yeah.
That is exactly how I would look at the league ever saying replay assist handles everything. It'll just never happen.
Never say never, but never.
Correct. And it is never also going to be perfect, ever. I just would love it to be more consistent. That's all. Why would it be just like, hey, it doesn't matter that there's a Chargers team that just forced a fourth down. Still put his hands on Christian Kirk more than 5 yards down the field. End of story. That's a penalty. And I'm calling it. Well, Tutu Atwell had a hands put on him in an obvious manner. And no call. Is that because there's only 10 seconds to go? That's the inconsistency that drives me nuts, that I'd love for the NFL to somehow fix. I just don't know how fixable it is. There will always be human error. The ultimate fix is to play better. Don't make those mistakes. Don't have a pick six. Don't come away with a turnover on downs. Don't let Bijan Robinson run 93 yards. It's easier said than done on that one.
Yeah.
Rod Woodson coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's the guy who told me that story about the refs playing better than the – you got to play better than the refs, ref. And who better again? He's a radio voice of the Ravens, Mr. Steeler himself. Oh, and we've also got Kenny in Massachusetts, who called in hour number one as a Purdue fan wondering if he should root for Indiana.
He's still there?
Oh, he's there.
I love it.
We're going to hook him up and have him ask Rod Woodson, Purdue Boilermaker himself, Mr. Boiler Up, joining us next on the Rich Eisen Show. That very question. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a Tuesday.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We're back on our radio simulcast. Rod Woodson is about to zoom in here. Let's go to Kenyi in Brooklyn, New York, back here on the program. What's up, sir?
Hey, Rich. How you doing today, man?
How are you doing?
I'm good. Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah. How about you?
Good. I'm here in New York, man, but I normally call from D.C. Go Bird. Mm-hmm. But I got a question for you. Jalen has beat all the elite quarterbacks, but yet nobody gives him his props. Do you feel that that's justified, or should they acknowledge him as the elite quarterback that he is?
Well, what do you mean by props? Because, you know, we certainly give it to him here. And the Eagles gave it to him in the form of a, you know,
big fat check.
Yeah. You know, so but I understand what you're raising your finger over.
That was the Roman Reigns.
Yeah, we were acknowledging
him.
Ah, got it. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
But okay. So what I mean by props is, like I said, if you look at the what happened over the years, he's beat Mahomes, he's beat Stafford, he's beat Allen, Burrow, Lamar, et cetera, et cetera. But then when people come out with the list, he's never on the elite list. But yet he beat all the elites.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has games where he looks super mediocre and bottom of the league.
He had no
that's why
completed passes in the second half on Sunday. And it's just one of the biggest, I guess, mysteries. Like if we had that old, I know I'm dating myself. You remember In Search Of? You remember that TV show?
Yeah.
You know, where we'd look at the Bermuda Triangle or look for, you know, that grainy Sasquatch pictures and stuff like that.
I do remember.
The football In Search Of would be what is the Eagles offense every other year? You know, every other year it's like, what's up with that? Part of that may have something to do. And one of the other thing is well, Ken, you did for to give Jalen Hurts his props is he has. Did you know that except for back-to-back years when he first arrived in Philadelphia, having Shane Steichen as his offensive coordinator, in back-to-back years, he's never had a coordinator in back-to-back years since leaving high school.
Yeah.
I know the fact that he's never had the same offensive coordinator, and that's all the more reason he should still be elite, because he has to change offensive formulas every year.
And so that may have something to do with it, but at the end of the day, it does come down to win or go home time. And in terms of the biggest game in the history of the world and football and the lives of people who play football, the Super Bowl, he's 2 for 2 and having brilliant performances.
Brilliant.
Thank you. There you go. Thanks for the call. Kenya in Brooklyn here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know, and he's going to be taking on the Commanders. Maybe we'll see a lot of Tanner McKee. Depends on how Sirianni wants to play it. Does the 2 seed matter more than the 3? And then it's going to be him against the Rams or the 4. If he's the 3 seed, I have the next gen stats in front of me here. The Eagles, according to next gen stats from NFL Network Research, get ready for it, Chris. The Eagles have a 69% chance of being the 3 seed.
Nice.
and a 31% chance of being the 2 seed. We do the math for you.
Not nice.
Although 2 seed is nicer. So odds are they're going to be taking on the Rams. And then it'll be on.
I think they should feel good about those chances.
I don't know about that.
This is the ultimate, like, both teams are kind of not playing great heading into the playoffs.
Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, my Hall of Fame friend who calls Ravens games on the radio and is Mr. Steeler as well, Rod Woodson. Good to see you, Roderick. How you doing, sir?
Rich Eisen, it is great to see you. You're my favorite Rich in the whole world.
More than Gannon?
Yeah, Rich. Last time I seen Rich in action, he threw 5 picks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rod Woodson has shown up.
Come on.
All right. You think of Ravens Steelers for all the AFC North marbles, Rod. You think what? What are you thinking?
I mean, first of all, let's give praise to the National Football League and the higher-ups, whoever made this decision to move back some of the divisional games till later in the year.
Right.
Because before it was beginning of the year, and then they would kind of move them all over the place. But having them at the end of the year has just made it more intriguing. And I mean, this is winner take all. I mean, and you know, that to me is what the NFL should be. So first of all, let's give credit to where credit's due. But when you think about the Steelers and the Ravens games, out of 30, I think they played 38 games, 39 now. In each game, or out of 28 of those games have been by 1 score or less. And 19 of those games have been by 3 points or less. So it's going to be a close game. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, you know, a good game to call. I think the Ravens last week got back to their bully ball. And that's the way they need to play from here on out. Giving the ball to Derrick Henry. We know what happened 2 weeks ago. And Derrick Henry was not in the game in the fourth quarter. And everybody's like, what the heck? How's 22 not in the game? And I think everybody heard that. I think every coaching staff has a way to do things. They have substitutions when they're going to substitute certain players. But normally when you have guys like Derrick Henry, you want them to start the game. You want them to come off in the second, be a part of the second half, and you want them to finish the game.
Yeah, right.
And now I think they – I don't know if they figured it out. We're going to find out. But I think they found a way to, hey, listen, I don't know if he's going to get 36 carries. I think he's going to get about 25 to 28 carries. Keith Mitchell will get the other part of those carries. And, you know, if they let them know, hey, we're going to run the ball. We know you know we're going to run the ball, but we're still going to be successful at it.
Well, why do they get away from bully ball? Again, in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago, right? As you pointed out, against the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. And I understand the answer is like, how does 36 carries against the Packers sound to you? And the answer from Ravens fans is great. You know, great. It's not, you know what I mean? Because Derrick Henry doesn't – I don't ever see – he's kind of like – and I can't believe I'm making this analogy – like Roger Federer. Like he comes off the field. I never see him gasping for air. You know what I mean? I don't see him – sucking on the oxygen. And I know he's human. At some point, he does have to rest. But how does that happen? Why do the Ravens get away from bully ball, Rod?
That's a great question. I mean, it's I said it at the beginning of the year that I thought they had the best roster going into the season this past year,
right?
And then they've been very inconsistent. Defensively, they haven't played well. Then they traded Olway away and got Gilman. Defensively, they have played better. Offensively, they've been very inconsistent. But Lamar's been inconsistent. And listen, they really need a great Lamar for this team to be at his best. When they have a great Lamar and a Derrick Henry and a tough physical defense, then that's the best version of the Ravens that you can find. Now, I don't know if Lamar is going to play this week, but I think Tyler Huntley, I think the one thing that he has taught the Ravens, and I'm glad that Tyler Huntley called John Harbaugh in the offseason and said, hey, I want to come back on the roster. And they put him back on, and they got him back on the roster because he knows how to win, and he knows how to play in that system. He looks at his first read, he looks at his second read, and if he doesn't like either one of those, he's gone. And that's what Lamar used to do. And Huntley has done it extremely efficient since a couple games that he's played this year. And this past week, he looked like a young Lamar. Quick intermediate throws. And when he didn't like what he saw, got first downs with his feet.
Well, why isn't the genuine article Lamar, right? Like, what is up? And I'm sure you heard about the column that was in the Baltimore Sun this week, too, Rod, just putting out there his practice habits, his eating habits. Again, I mean, the same thing that cropped up his last time he had a contract that was up in the air. We're hearing the same thing. I mean, where do you stand on the subject of eight here?
I don't, Rod. First of all, I don't even know how they got that information, that personal information. I mean, his eating habits. Gosh, Rich, when I played, I used to eat Little Debbie Swiss rolls, like all the time. Like what? Like, I get it where these players are saying they're putting better things in their bodies and they're trying to be machines. They're still human beings, right? Now, I would say this. He's a young Lamar. He's still young. Heck, when I was young, we went out. We were out and doing things. People didn't know it because they didn't have social media, didn't have cell phones and all that stuff. You know, it happens. But to be the best and he's played well with that. Listen, he was a two-time MVP and should have been the MVP last year. All right? Mm-hmm. Arguably, he should have been the MVP last year. So he could have been a three-time MVP. And he's been staying up late and eating bad food. And he was still playing at a very high level. This year, he's been injured. And I know he's been injured in the last several years. But I think it's not just the injuries. I think it's more up here. I think it's more mental. Like, does he trust his offensive line? Does he trust every person he's throwing the ball to? Because he's kind of gotten back to throwing the ball to Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews. And he has other weapons. And he needs to use those. And he needs to believe in those guys. He needs to believe in his offensive line. And I think if he does play and he is the best version of himself, I don't know if the Steelers can beat him, because I think the Ravens do have a little bit better roster. And I said at the very beginning of the year, I think the Ravens are the best team in the league. And I thought the sleeper team of the league was the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they got Aaron Rodgers and they put a lot of money on the defensive side.
And yet the Steelers are the ones with the home date and one win away from winning the division after all. But as you pointed out, Rod, the Ravens are coming in with a much better performance the week before without their quarterback. And the Steelers are coming in off a loss to the Browns, in which they sure looked like they were missing DK Metcalf, even though he really wasn't a world beater for much of the year anyway. But he's still DK Metcalf, Rod, and he's not going to be there on Sunday night. So I just asked you about the conversation that's going on in Baltimore, where you're far more embedded being the radio voice of the Ravens and then you are of the Steelers, but you still are Mr. Steeler. Do you think if the Steelers lose this could be Mike Tomlin's last game as the head coach there?
Rod? No. I mean, the one thing I like about the Steelers, the one thing I like about the Ravens, that they don't listen to the outside noise. A lot of owners and front office groups do, but the Rooney family and Steve Bisciotti, they're not going to listen to the outside noise. I mean, if John Harbaugh loses this game, do you fire John Harbaugh? No. Mike Tomlin loses this game. Do you fire Mike Tomlin? No. I think Mike Tomlin needs to make some changes with his coaching staff, because at the end of the day, it's not just your players who aren't playing at the best level. That has to be in a reflection of the coaches, right? And it's the same thing with the Baltimore Ravens. So, and I know they got a bunch of new coaches, or not a bunch, but they got quite a few new coaches this past offseason talking about the Ravens. So they have to reevaluate that. I think every year, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin need to reevaluate how can they get better as an organization? How can they get better as a football team? How can they have the players be the best version of themselves week in and week out, consistently throughout a year? And sometimes you have to make hard changes and let coaches go and bring in new coaches and new blood and new energy. But I don't think Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh is going to be gone.
Rod Woodson here on the Rich Eisen Show. I was mentioning moments ago, Rod, that you and I did more NFL total accesses maybe than any host analyst combination at the start of NFL Network all the way through halfway through its existence. And so you've played a lot of football. You've seen a lot of football. Have you seen a playoff field this wide open? Honestly, I really feel a dozen teams can take it. Somebody can get hot and take it for real.
I have not. I mean, you know, you look at Seattle and, you know, I'm thinking Seattle's just going to be that team. And then you seen they had some hiccups, you know, the Rams, they look like that team. And then they have some hiccups and
Niners.
Philly,
Niners.
The 49ers, you know, they've played extremely well without some of their key players. The Philly, the Eagles, who reigning Super Bowl champs, they look very inconsistent. I mean, it's just.
How about the Bears, Rod, right? I mean, Caleb's playing out of his skull, and that defense takes it away. You know?
I tell you what, if anybody deserves Coach of the Year, right, to take Williams and get him to the point where he's held accountable weekly, and I think that's what's made him so good now. I think he's learned what defense is trying to do to him. And at the end of the day, in the fourth quarter, he's still allowed to get out of the pocket, run around, make plays with his feet, and ad lib, which most defenses aren't ready for. And, you know, I think that's an amazing job what the coaching staff has done up in Chicago. You know, but it's going to be fun to see which team can play the best football for 60 minutes for three games to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think they are?
Well, that's a good one, Rich. That is a good one. I really like the Rams.
Okay.
I do like the Rams because I think Stafford should be the league MVP.
You do.
That's not even a question to me. That's like, I mean, he is.
There's a lot of questions after last night, Rod. A lot of questions last night.
You're not going to have great games. Every quarterback that's played in the league this year, they haven't had, you know, 18 great games. It's just hard to do in the National Football League. But he's had a lot of great games. And at his age, nobody thought he was going to play at this level.
Right.
I didn't think he was going to play at this level. I mean, I thought he'll be good because he's an older player and he knows what he can and cannot do. And he's been in the rigors. He's seen a lot of defenses. So it's not going to surprise him what he sees. But he is slinging it to everybody. And they got a solid running game with a two-headed monster. Right. So I and they got a young defense that can get after you.
What about the AFC then?
The AFC, I think, is more wide open.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, I like the best defense in AFC right now is the Denver Broncos.
Not Houston. I saw them in my own two eyes this weekend, Rod.
Let me reel that one back. Okay. Let me reel that one back in. Okay.
Okay.
There's a 1A and a 1B.
Yep.
And I misstepped.
Yep.
The Houston Texans are 1A.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got rushers that can get after you.
And the defense on the back end, man. There's four guys with four picks.
Guys, yeah. They like to hit and they can cover.
Woo.
I do like, I mean, my favorite player to watch right now is Surtain, right? So I love Denver and what they've been doing. They got a young, fast, physical defense. They can get after everybody. You know, they make it hard on everybody. You know, you look at, you know, Bo Nix, and Bo Nix doesn't have great stats all the time, but he has two drives in the fourth quarter or one drive in the fourth quarter that makes you go, oh, I like this kid. I really like this kid. He's gritty. He's tough. He doesn't sulk in self-pity if he doesn't do something right early. And they won a lot of close games. That's why I kind of like them. But the defense for the Texans, if anybody reminds me of our 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense, this defense does.
Wow.
Because they can get after it. I mean, they can, they stop the run, they can pressure the quarterback, and they can play on the back end.
Before I let you go, Rod, I've got a caller who called in hour number one and asked me this question, and I'm like, I got to let him stay on hold to hour two to ask you, Mr. Purdue, this question, Rod Woodson. Let's bring on Kenny from Massachusetts. Kenny, you still there, Kenny?
Yes, I am.
All right, Kenny, you have the floor. Rod Woodson, meet Kenny from Massachusetts.
Kenny,
hi, Rod. It's an honor. I'm a Boilermaker graduate. Huge fan. What I'm about to ask you kind of feels sacrilegious because I really am a dyed-in-the-wool Purdue fan. Didn't miss a single game at Ross Ade. Didn't miss a game at Mackey. But right now, my football watching life is pretty turbulent. Not only am I a Dolphins fan, we're not doing too well, but I'm also a Massachusetts transplant. I got to hear from everybody I know. So I really want to just not even root for a winner, but not hear it from the winners. I got to be honest, I'm a Miami kid. I'm a Cuban American, just like Fernando Mendoza. The dark sign is kind of calling me for Indiana this college football playoff. And, you know, I don't know. I'm at like a crisis of faith.
Should
are you you're gonna root for Indiana?
I don't want
no, you're not.
To. But
no, you're not.
Come on, Rod.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
No.
Listen, I root for the Big Ten, but I'm not going to say I'm going to root for Indiana. I'm going to root for everybody else in the whole world except IU.
I get that. I really do. And I, you know what? If you say so, then I got to stick it out. And I got to pull for
that. It's like, okay, you can't. It's like if you are Purdue, you said you went to Purdue, you love Purdue, and then you turned around and said, but I'm going to root for Indiana. Like, what? No, you can't. You cannot do that. You just can't. No.
But this Cignetti's great. This, what a story.
Listen,
they are.
He is.
But still, still not.
I love the coach. I love what they're doing. Right. I love that they're winning. But they're IU. I will never, ever, you'll never, ever, ever, ever hear me say IU is great.
Oh, I won't say that. I will. You know what? I'll root for Bama to win. I'll secretly smile if Mendoza throws some touchdowns.
All right, Kenny, you got your answer. Kenny in Massachusetts.
There you go.
RES Consulting hooking up a See, I couldn't answer that question. I figured you'd be the better guy to answer. But I thought you'd be like, no, you know what? Let's give Indiana its one shot. One shot out of nowhere, hey, Rod.
I love what they're doing. I do. But you won't hear it come from my mouth that I love IU. It just won't happen.
Mr. Indiana saying that himself, ladies and gentlemen. Rod, you're the best. Love you, man. We'll chat again soon.
Love you.
Have a great,
all right, brother.
Have a great cast. That's Rod Woodson, who's going to call Ravens locally on the radio right there on the Rich Eisen Show.
That was great.
Oh, my God. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Call in. We'll hook you up with whoever, you know, if they're on our roster.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event right now and get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong, because right now you can get a great deal on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs, the Hyundai Santa Fe and the Santa Fe hybrid models are those. And then there's the bold and stylish Elantra, packed with all the latest tech, or you can go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 6. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with an awesome deal only during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. I know what I'm doing at 4 Eastern, 1 o'clock local tomorrow.
What's that?
Sitting in front of the television and watching the Cheez-Its Citrus Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that Michigan?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Well, all of us Wolverines are excited to talk football and see football and an actual game as games, opposed to everything else. Yeah. Although Kyle Whittingham's arrival has certainly calmed some waters.
I bet.
And we will see who is dressed, who's not, all out of business against Texas. Pretty big football game. God bless Sark. He was sitting next to Biff Poggi, our interim, at the press conference held today. And he said he thinks that this Texas-Michigan bowl game could outview some of the actual college football playoff quarterfinal games. Way to flex. We're Texas, that's Michigan. We're going to combine for a big fat rating.
Sure.
I'll be watching. That is for sure. Sark let loose on what else he's up to on a day like today prior to this game. And it's amazing. He was talking about transfer portals right around the corner and talking to players and talking to recruits and high school recruits and drop this soundbite.
We've got to have our list of needs, our list of wants, and our list of luxuries. And then what's the dollar sign next to all that? Okay. And then what's the bottom dollar from an organizational standpoint? And the idea that I can sit up here in 2025 and talk about money and players and things like is pretty crazy, right? From where we've gotten to, where we were 4 or 5 years ago to where we are today. But that's the reality of the situation of college football right now. And that's where we are. Again, I think there's nothing wrong with that. We just got to tighten it up. And hopefully we can get there sooner rather than later. Because again, I'm probably going to be on the phone with an agent today that's going to throw a number at me that I'm going to be like, good luck. I hope you get it. If you don't, call us back. But I can't do that number.
Could you imagine? How? Again, we just talked about Ravens Steelers in hour one, hour two. Could you imagine if Mike Tomlin getting ready for this game on Sunday night had to deal with free agency? I'm serious.
And re-recruiting his own players.
Yeah, like whoever didn't play because DK wasn't there.
Right.
Because they decide this player's not ready enough yet or Rodgers doesn't trust him. I'm not saying that it exists
right.
Sure. In real life. I'm just giving you hypotheticals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that player walks up to Tomlin and says, I'm out of here unless you pay me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right before the game.
It's bananas.
That's what's happening. Uh-huh. And this is at the Cheez-It Bowl level. You don't think that's happening with any of the 8 coaches playing in the college football playoff this weekend? I bet you it's happening with all 8 of them.
For sure.
That they're getting ready for these games and also having to talk to 8. And agents, as Sark mentioned in the moments before, it was a 2-minute long soundbite. I had our crack staff cut it down. He said some of the agents that he's dealing with, most of them aren't real agents. They're not certified like they have to be in the NFL to be dealing. He said some of these agents might be the freshman player involved's roommate. That's what's happening in college football. Like, what the hell?
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.